WrestleTalk.com.
This is Rob Van Dam. You are listening to WrestleTalk Radio. Oh.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, WrestleTalk Radio.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
Hey, this is Charlie Haas, one half of the world's greatest tag team.
I'm Al Snow.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake.
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
I could increase my work rate. I could add to the five moves of doom. Or maybe let my heel persona shine through.
TNA.
What are you looking at, lady? Never seen a pair of boots before? Mind your business.
I think that's a man.
Oh, she needs a wax or something.
You're right.
Ew.
And the indie scene.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
This is the masterpiece, Chris Masters.
Hi, everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross.
With your host, Tim Stein.
I have tried to treat you all as adults, but obviously I am the only adult here.
Omega.
You'll do my bidding or taste my wrath.
Mace.
You can't get away from me, Vince. I'm coming for you. Pull that bus over, I'll drag you out of there and beat the piss out of you, you billionaire bastard.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Who in the blue hell are you?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby.
And welcome, everyone, to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Once again, our producer seems to have gotten creative with the playlist, and we have no idea what the hell we just listened to. As I swear, it's a surprise every time tuning in, or being a host for that matter. This is the Omega, the be-all and all of this little network here. Joining me tonight, we have Mace.
I can't stop spending money I don't have. Evil Japanese sites, evil!
Hey, Mace. Hey, Mace. Mace.
No.
Mace.
No.
Mace.
No.
Found
no.
It. Found it. Do you want it?
What?
Want it?
What do you got now?
No.
And how much is it going to cost me?
Shut up and take his money.
If only it was that. Omega never actually takes my money. He gets me to spend money elsewhere.
Shut up and take his money. That's the rule. And of course, butting in as usual before his intro is the one and only Tim Stein.
It's my network. Don't start pissing me off. I don't care how bad of a mood you're in and how bad of a day you had yesterday. I had a worse one. Oh, wait, no, I didn't. It was a great day yesterday. Canadian All-Pro Wrestling had their show, so I'm in a good mood.
Did you have many injuries?
Because
yes. At the moment, we're looking at about three at the UFC pay-per-view that was on at the same time.
Well, nobody got their toe dislocatedly broken like Bones Jones. I suppose it's a good name. His nickname is Bones.
Yeah.
He needs a few extra ones after last night.
Oh, believe me. No, the guy that broke his thumb was worse, but...
Okay, that I didn't see.
Yeah,
I didn't see anything about any MMA last night, so...
Well, obviously, because the show was on at the same time that you were standing up in front of a camera, making your head bob up and down.
Only a couple of times did I get in the way of the damn camera, and it's your fault collectively, you guys, because you were always bitching, put the camera on the stage so we can look down at what's going on.
Wait, all I heard was head bobbing up and down. I thought Lita wasn't on camera at UFC.
Okay, I knew that was coming.
Yeah, bada-bum-ching.
Bada-bum-ching? Right. I thought it was like bada-bing, bada-boom, or whatever.
No.
No, it's like whatever Omega decides to make it, because after all, he's got a press release, so he's somebody important.
Oh, jeez, here we go.
You're never, ever going to live that down, son.
Well, excuse me.
For being popular.
I'm sorry, I will go, you know, I will stop being successful if it makes you feel better, Tim.
Will you, please? Because that way I'll look better than I already do.
You know what? No.
Don't say No.
I was going to do it, and then you gave me that snotty little answer, so now I'm not going to.
Well, too late, because you did kind of just by saying you didn't, and you weren't going to, you know, that's how it works.
Yeah, Hey, guys, I'm almost up to 2,000 likes on Facebook.
That's your problem. It's not my fault. Your mom keeps making fake accounts.
Well, I asked your mom, Tim, but she was a little too occupied on her back.
Okay, you don't talk about my mom like that. She's almost 89 years old, and she's recovering from a very serious fall. So my mom's off limits.
Technically, Omega's remark is correct, because
she's on her back.
Yes. Yeah, technically she's
yeah,
on her back.
Yeah, that's your head. Your head. Wait, whoa.
Don't say he didn't imply anything, because yes, he did imply something. He didn't directly state it. You get that much, but he said nothing
that your mind didn't fill in for me.
She can't lie down because she really buggered up a muscle on her back, so she has to like sit up, which is just really annoying for her sometimes.
Anyway, speaking of injuries, can we get to our first topic of the night?
Yeah, John Cena. Now, is this for real or is it fake? I mean, it's my Achilles. Nobody is claiming they saw this happen or that it showed in the match. I mean, the guy can't even sell a legit injury. What's going on?
You do realize that even if you do hurt an Achilles tendon, it's not going to be the point of, oh, it hurts, and suddenly he's dropping down, rolling around, going, oh, my leg. Chances are he's not going to notice it until he got in the back and they've gone, John, there's something wrong with you.
And then there's some wise ass standing right beside, you know, there's some wise ass standing right beside John. See? Told you.
No, it's more along the lines of I don't know. I haven't read any of the results or anything. I went to sleep just as this. Oh, look, we actually get photo. Yay. But, you can still walk around on the tendon without really, really noticing it when it happens.
Uh-huh.
Is it one of those things where the adrenaline's just kicking a little too high to actually feel it right away?
Pretty much.
Well, that would happen in a lot of cases, yeah.
To use another example that we've already brought up tonight, John Bones Jones broke his toe during the match. Didn't even notice it during the post-fight interview. He sort of looked down and went, oh, shit, my toe's broken. There's a bit of blood. Can somebody clean that up? Oh, I'll just sit here and do my interview. The guys are on a... The adrenaline is kicking in that hard that they don't notice it until, like, hours after. So there's a good chance that this is something that has happened, that is real, and depending on the severity of the injury, he could be out a couple of weeks if it's minor, or months if he's done some real damage to it.
Now, the question is, did he do real damage to it, or is it just, you know, something minor? As we wait for Omega to finish his late night dinner.
What's on the menu?
Steak and baked potato.
How Texan or Albertan of you?
How manly Texan. Of him.
Yeah, that's even weirder. How manly of you? What happened? You can blame Mace for that one, Omega.
Yeah.
Oh, I do.
I'll take the one.
I do. See, in Hero... Hero's going to back him up by adding to the point. There is absolutely no point to having this injury happen off camera when it would play into storyline.
Yeah. Well, I don't see. You know, I've read some speculation that it's a storyline injury that is the only way that Ryback has a chance to beat Cena. Because he's a Superman. You know that. I heard somebody yawn. The whole idea, that boring to you?
Well, I don't want Ryback to get the belt.
A lot of people don't, yeah.
Even if it's out of the fact that Cena is injured... Can we go a little bit old school with it? Vacate and go a tournament?
Well, you know, considering that John Cena had surgery on his neck and was wrestling like a week and a half later, do we really have to worry about stripping him of the title until, you know, the final say-so is a go?
Well, probably. We can sort of... Yeah, you can sit on it and just sort of say, okay, look, John Cena's out of action for a little bit. And, you know, give him... 3 weeks or whatever. If he's not on the mend, then yes, strip him of the belt. Or you do the old 30 days rule and get it off him that way.
Yeah.
Just whatever you do, don't drop the belt back. Drop the belt to Ryback.
You want to keep him chasing it for a while.
I just don't want Ryback near the belt.
Yeah. More to the point, you don't want him being the champion.
Yeah.
Now, my question for you guys is, do you want him not being the champion because you don't think he's good enough, or you don't think he's got enough experience, or what?
Because he's right back.
There you go. Okay, I'm about to make Mace's brain explode. No, I'm going to make Mace's brain explode here. Mace, we know that you're not the world's biggest John Cena fan, and he's got the title belt, which does not make you smile. You have a chance to put it on somebody other than Cena, and you're vetoing that notion?
Okay. Once Boom. Again, I'm going to have to clarify. No, you didn't make brain explode.
Uh-oh.
It's, once again, misinterpretation of what I say. I'm a fan of Cena. The guy does great for the business. He does great for the company. I don't like the way he's booked.
There you go.
There's a difference between liking the man and liking the way he's booked.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, after The Rock, Cena has earned a chance to have the belt for a while. You know, he had nearly 1.5 years where he's chased and chased and got beaten down. He's had all this other stuff happen to him to drag him down that he has had to rebuild himself back to this place. You know, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with him having the belt. He could have the belt for the next 6 months and I wouldn't give a shit. It's just, I don't think Ryback is ready in terms of wrestling, promo, marketability, basically everything. He is not there. Ryback is, if anything, you wait another year, maybe two, find a way to build him up back into the unstoppable monster that they debuted him as, then you give him the belt. But not now, and definitely not if the champ's injured. Because everybody's just going to turn around and go, oh, well, he's a placeholder.
Well, there's always that... that concern and consideration, that possibility that somebody might, you know, be looked upon that way. And a lot of the times it's just, you know, that's reality. But what are you going to do? Say Cena is actually hurt and he's out long term. You figure drop the belt and put it up for a tournament. What if WWE, and we know this is basically generally what's going to happen with them, or at least what won't happen, they're not going to do a heavy WWE title tournament. Put you in a really, really awkward position and say, okay, you're WWE, as WWE, thinking like WWE. Good luck, by the way. What are you going to do?
Panic. probably put the belt on Ryback like an idiot, and then bring back CM Punk from his hiatus really early, and have them feud.
What about, now we're thinking like WWE here again. What about putting Ryback in a feud with Mark Henry?
We want to attract viewers, not make them run for the hills.
Yeah, that went off so bad. So bad. See, I'm trying to think like WWE here, but I don't have any turpentine to huff.
Use oven cleaner. It's a good substitute. It works.
Oh. Good tip. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Not a surprising tip from the homemade hooch man.
Hey, same results. Don't be a wise ass. My homemade hooch is good. I've got a bottle of whiskey sitting in the kitchen right now. Actual whiskey. Whiskey. And it's whiskey.
The sad thing is...
flown to Australia so we can drink it. Why?
The sad thing is, WWE, if this is serious, if Cena's out for longer than a month, they are going to panic. They're going to completely lose their shit, drop the title on Raw to Ryback, and just let him tear through the faces to make him look like a big deal until Cena is recovered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the sad state of the modern WWE. I don't expect them to do anything more complex than that because that's a real easy solution. Ryback doesn't deserve that belt. In no way should he be anywhere near that belt except for maybe one feud, and this is it. They'll do it just because they're in a corner and it's the fastest way out.
Well, you guys figure this feud between Cena and Ryback is their match of the month leading up to the next pay-per-view?
Well, yes, that was the plan, was to build up Cena and Ryback as the feud up into Extreme Rules. But, gee, Omega, all this talk sounds really familiar. It sounds like a talk we had a couple of weeks ago about WWE relying their heavyweight division on one man.
Gee, it sounds like a conversation we've had a lot, Mace.
No way. Yeah. Really?
This is why I kind of like it when a big star does get injured, because it forces them to change things.
Yeah, but you say that, and then they wind up making changes that you don't like, and then it pisses you off. They can't win with you.
Not always true.
Not always true, but more often than not.
Stop trying to make it sound ultra negative, Tim. We are actually positive from time to time.
From time to time, you are. I'm just picking on you. Because, you know, that's what I do.
See, the bigger problem here is that they throw that belt on anybody as a short-term solution. They don't have those plates made up for everybody for the sides.
How much work do you think
it takes? Which means we might get those generic ones that they have on the ones that they sell on the website that look good.
Oh yeah, the one that actually has the globe on it and it actually looks okay.
Yeah. We might actually get those ones, you know, the good looking ones. But yeah, you're right, Omega, with this, that, when they get back to a corner like this, they need to realize that their current way of thinking isn't going to work. I know it's not going to work in the way that we would wish it would work, is when they get into a situation like this, it's, okay, let's look at somebody from the mid-card that we can turn into a new star. Oh, look, we've still got the same old holdouts. You know, Del Rio hasn't got a belt at the moment. Orton doesn't have a belt at the moment. Big Show doesn't have a belt at the moment. Sheamus doesn't have a belt at the moment. Let's put it on somebody that we've seen it on 10,000 times.
Yeah, that's the other easy solution, isn't it? The hard part is, you know, again, going back to that conversation we've had 100 times over, there really isn't anyone to the mid-card who is at that tweener level where they could be elevated to the top, given the right circumstance. You know, the last guy who did that, we just gave a World Heavyweight Championship to, so that kind of takes him out of the equation now.
Kind of sort of, didn't it?
Kind of.
Yeah, just a little bit. So, now, CM Punk, he's getting an extended leave, but nobody really knows how long he's going to be gone for. Anybody want to take a guess? Like do a betting pool?
Again, it all comes down to the severity of the injury. If it's something minor, he could be out for a month.
Mm-hmm.
If it's something major, then you're looking anywhere between 6 months to a year and a half. You know, tendons, and I can speak from experience, are a pain in the ass to heal. And if they don't heal right, they really become a hindrance for pretty much the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's been reported that he's got strained ligaments in his knee. So that's probably, they're probably
going to... No, strained ligaments is Punk.
Oh, for you, well, yeah, sentence. Punk. Yeah.
That one I know because I've got the same condition in my knees.
Yeah, now my question though is reportedly, he reported strained ligaments in his knee. Now, you know, talking CM Punk, how long is that going to keep him away before he can come back?
I'd be honest, he needs to be away for a year.
You know that Ooh. Won't happen.
Well, that's the thing. If they don't, again, just like the tendons, ligaments, if they don't heal properly, they become a nagging injury for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes so easy to re-injure.
Yeah.
So Punk needs to be gone for a year, easily.
Can you see him being gone for even 6 months?
I'll be surprised if I don't see him tomorrow night. Mainly because if Cena is hurt, like badly, mm-hmm. they're going to hit the panic button. The first person they're going to go to is CM Punk. And that's the unfortunate thing.
Yeah. Well, who else are they going to be able to do in Punk's case. On Raw? Yeah, like for Raw, who else could they turn to?
Nobody because, you know, the last champion isn't with the company anymore.
Yeah, there's another problem with hiring part-timers. You know, you give the guy one belt, you give the guy a belt for over a year, and yeah, he's going to need to rest. So you're going to have to put him away for a while when he's done with the belt. And you give it to a part-timer who can't come back because A, he's got movies to film, and B, he's injured too. You realize that the three guys who have been in the world title picture for the last year and a half are all injured right now.
You know what the scariest thing is? I reckon we could put the belt on Undertaker and he'd still be good. He seems to be the only healthy one out of that batch.
Now there's something to think about. Undertaker is healthy.
It's kind of amazing, really. But I was going to say that because we've actually been getting a lot more work out of Taker lately. You know, okay, bring him back to like, you could have the belt on Taker, give him only one match a month, and people would buy it still, cause it's the fucking Undertaker. He doesn't need to be defending that on Monday Night Raw every week. He's a goddamn Undertaker.
And while we just wait for the squee to end somewhere in Utah.
I can hear it from here. They're just, like, directly south of me.
But, yeah, other than that, there's, like, there's no one, and this is the same conversation we had last week when we said, where do you put Cena from here? There's no one that feels of that level, of the main event level, to go for the belt or even hold the belt because that's the way the company has worked. Like, I know Rock said that you could vacate the belt and defend it in a Brock Triple H match, but then you're giving the WWE Championship to, once again, a part-timer. Sure, they may stay somewhat healthy, except for Triple H, who's managed to hurt his arm every single time he's gone up against Brock Lesnar. And to be honest, I wouldn't give it to Brock, because Brock likes to change his mind on whether he's with the company or not at the drop of a hat.
Not to mention he's a part-timer, too. He just signs a few more dates in The Rock.
Yeah. At this point, we could probably put it on Paul Heyman.
The man did, he did work two shifts at WrestleMania.
Well, it would be interesting to see them come up with some kind of an angle for Paul Heyman to wind up with the title.
Hey, they've given it to Vince.
Well, yeah, but Vince owns the company. Paul Heyman is hated by the McMahons, let's face it. They'll work with him because he makes money.
Imagine the promo. Could you just imagine the promo the night after if Paul Heyman accidentally won the title?
Mm-hmm.
It would be glorious.
I actually cannot imagine that promo because it would be something somewhat different from what we've grown accustomed to putting up with.
Oh, come on. You know, if Heyman had the belt, he'd be doing the promo that would be the biggest middle finger to the McMahon family ever.
Dude, I would want the Paul E. dangerously holding the title promo.
You know, something in my head can see how it would happen.
I'm waiting.
Which goes to show you've watched WWE for way too long if you can actually pitch a scenario.
Okay. Yeah, let's say it happens like tomorrow night on Raw where John Cena's limping, he's holding the belt, okay, and he's still going, I'm still facing Ryback at Extreme Rules, and at that point you have Brock Lesnar come down, you know, somehow get in his face and do one of those stupid things that champions tend to do, which is when the size of their dick is challenged, put the belt on the line. Which happens a lot, you know it does.
Now you just got me actually imagining it for real. Somebody comes out and actually comments negatively on potential penis size. Thank you. That was just not what I wanted in my head.
Well, here's the thing. You make it a... Well, here's the thing. Either... Triple H would go off and either make this a 2-on-1 with Heyman, a legal target in the match, or it'd be something Cena adds. You know, I'll put the belt on the line if I get a piece of Heyman.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the match as good as Cena can work on one bum ankle. Okay, once both of them are beat to shit, he hits an F5 out of nowhere. Yeah, or let's backtrack a little bit. Let's say at some point, Cena gets the attitude adjustment on Heyman, lays him out. He's out cold, completely dazed. Lesnar comes in, quick F5. He's suffering the whole match. He can't make the pinfall. Heyman has no idea where he's doing. He just starts crawling toward Brock and accidentally goes over Cena to do it. And the ref just counts 1, 2, 3, and Heyman doesn't even realize he's crawling over Cena.
I hate you. I hate you.
I like it. I like it.
I can see the bloody plausibility and the possibleness of this, and I hate you for it. Oh my God. No. So, John Cena, don't be too hurt to have to drop the belt because nobody wants to see Ryback win the damn title. Okay, moving on. How many people saw The Shield take out The Undertaker?
I'd say probably a couple of million.
Yeah, I wasn't one of them. Sorry.
I saw it.
Because you don't watch Monday Night Raw with the rest of us.
Well, he did the triple power bomb through the announce table.
Lindsay's ovaries must be so confused right now.
Hey, they might be open-minded. You never know.
Do you know how many times she has watched Undertaker versus Dean since SmackDown has aired?
I'm afraid to wonder, to tell you the truth. She must have gone through so many DVRs, just like burning them out. Rewinding and replaying and rewinding and replaying.
Well, I know. She watched it because I streamed the match for her on my Friday night, so Thursday night after the rack.
Mm-hmm.
She watched the East Coast feed when that was on. Then she watched the feed, the West Coast feed on her TV. I'm quite sure she's probably watched the DVR version a couple of times. So there's at least five or six times. On, like, in the Thursday-Friday period. But yes, both matches though, like the six-man tag and the one-on-one, really, really good matches.
Mm-hmm.
Because, the six-man tag was basically everybody showing off.
Mm-hmm.
And the one-on-one, was one of these really interesting psychological matches where you got the impression that Dean Ambrose had spent a lot of time in between Monday and quote-unquote Friday watching Undertaker matches. From the way he worked, he was always one step ahead of the Undertaker.
Mm-hmm.
So you got that feeling of he's sat down and watched tapes and he knows how the Undertaker thinks and works.
Basically scouting his opponent, which is what you should do in any sports.
It kind of plays to it's the way they're booking the Shield though, to be very calculated, very precise, just, you know, that, you know, machine precision in the in a ring. And even one on one, man, they know how to book the guys. Like, I don't know where the hell they're going wrong on the rest of the roster, but the Shield has the best booking in the company right now.
Yeah. And it was definitely something to watch over this week. I actually watched SmackDown.
No.
Yeah.
Were you sick? Laid up and had nothing to do? Your video games stolen?
No. It was just the fact that The Undertaker versus Dean Ambrose sounded like it would be a good match, and it was.
Well, I'm wondering how many people were thinking along the same lines as you and tuned in to watch it.
Probably a lot.
More than normal.
Yeah. And considering that match was from what the original reports were, it was the end of show main event,
mm-hmm.
the dark main. So if they decided to take what was essentially the dark main event and put it on television,
yeah,
they've got faith.
Well, they've got to have faith.
Yeah.
Now, with all of this going on, does that give you, speaking about faith, does that give you faith in Taker still being able to work?
He was working a little slower on Friday. I noticed that much. He can still move. Like, he can still wrestle a match and still wrestle it quite well. He's a slight bit touch slower than he was on even Monday. So, I think his cardio probably isn't at the levels that he needs it to be if he was to sort of do a bit more, like a few more matches over the next couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
But he looks like he can still pull out some matches when he needs to.
So do you figure that will...
Good.
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, it's good given that the fact that now we've quite possibly lost, you know, most of the big names in the company. You know, Cena might be gone, Punk's on holiday, mm-hmm. The Rock's off filming and getting, you know, sliced open.
At the same time, holy cow.
Yeah, and this gives you like, to be honest, if you need something to take the place of a main event while you scramble to look for a champion,
mm-hmm.
The Shield versus The Undertaker is gonna be a money feud. That's the one that you move to Raw, and you start building.
Yeah, much do you figure we're going to see The Undertaker for the rest of this year up until WrestleMania next April or whatever?
Omega, you want to field?
I don't know. And I know you're stalling because you don't know either. It's kind it's hard to tell because they've teased this thing where, wait, he's on Raw and SmackDown? Wait, what? I think he's already worked more matches this year than he did last. It's such an easy way of throwing you off when all of a sudden he's working the weeklies again. And not only is he working the weeklies, he's working them back-to-back. And I know it's because they're on tour in London and he's the big star.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, he's there. You know, it gives you the impression that he's actually present and available, which we haven't had in years with The Undertaker.
Well, let's just take a look at the reason for his year-long plus absence. I mean, he became a dad. Plus, he had some pretty significant injuries that he had to basically heal up from.
Oh.
Let's face it, when you're 45 years old, it takes a little bit longer to get yourself back together.
I'm not begrudging him, you know, the time off. If anyone on the roster earned it, it's him.
Yep. But would you have been happy with Undertaker working WrestleMania and WrestleMania only for the next 3 years?
For the next 3 years, no. You need to have him there a little bit more often just to keep him present and actually keep him intimidating. You know, actually have his presence there to remind you, oh yeah, you only see one main match out of him a year, but he's still here.
Well, hey, you know what? Before we go to break, kids, we've got a caller. Somebody called in. He likes to call himself WTR's Oreo. Now, those of you who haven't heard of this guy before, and we've got a few new listeners who have no clue, why don't you explain why you are the Oreo of WTR?
Well, because apparently I am black, but everyone swears on the stack of Bibles that I'm white.
There, you see, you just covered my ass. Nobody can accuse me of being a bigot.
There you go.
How you doing, man? What's up, Mike?
Oh, my goodness. I'm good. It boggled my mind about the whole Undertaker thing. Yes, I do find it amazing that he has worked more matches this year than last year and probably the year before. But I think, to be perfectly honest, with the whole Shield situation, I do see it being the biggest feud so far. And maybe, who knows, it could lead to WrestleMania. But because of the injuries that The Undertaker has, he may have to probably take it easy.
Well, that's a good thing about going up against a group like The Shield, where you've got three guys. He can have a million and one six-mans. He can, you know, steal Kane off Daniel Bryan and have tag matches. There are ways that he can be active while not doing much, and they can still sustain a feud for quite a few months. I probably wouldn't say going to Mania. Mm-hmm. I might give it about 2 to 3 months if they book it properly.
Right.
Now, at the same time, it's Undertaker. So basically, you know, he gets a pop just for, like, standing there. literally, seriously. Think about it. Does he really need to take more than 3, maybe 4 bumps in a match before they, as they say in the industry, go home? Because it's Undertaker. Remember that.
Yeah, it is. And just like you said, he goes over every time he stands up or raises his fists. Mm-hmm. But the fact that the Shield, you know, the mentality of them, it's like, oh my God, I'm facing one of the greatest wrestlers in WWE. It's the Undertaker. You know, young and old, they have different styles than he does, different wrestling styles than he does. So to be fair and just, I mean, I'm still sticking to, they got to be careful with The Undertaker because it depends on the pace that they go.
Oh, you could tell that during the beatdown at the end of SmackDown. they were careful with him.
Yeah, they were actually.
They know how to treat him. And to be honest, you gotta wonder, at which point were all three of them standing around backstage shitting bricks that they're working with The Undertaker?
Yeah.
Or standing there giggling like schoolgirls.
Well, now, here would be my question.
Oh no, here comes a question from...
Yeah, I know.
There you go.
If it does lead to WrestleMania, do you actually think that it would possibly be his last, but however, do you think it would probably do a little bit, I don't even know how to word it, put it into words. For WrestleMania, you know how he always does his over the top type matches and things like that, like the first match with Triple H and things of that sort. Do you actually think that would actually put not only the Shield on the map, but them individually? Because yes, it's the Undertaker, it's just the beginning, and yes, it's money. But however, do you think that they can make the Shield undefeated before WrestleMania, so that way they can have like streak versus streak?
Interesting.
Because mind you,
technically,
as a group, they are undefeated. Technically.
I think even their singles matches, aren't they?
No. Ambrose, he lost on SmackDown.
He tapped. Yeah. That's right.
So, to be technical, you know, can you see the Shield probably as a whole and as a group pulling the whole, what is his name? Vladimir Kozlov and being undefeated?
I don't think they need to be undefeated if they're to go up against The Undertaker at Mania. They just need to stay strong, which the WWE at this point are doing extremely well, even if they get chased out of the ring or something like that. The Shield always finds a way to look strong. And as long as they can keep that up, that's all you need to take into WrestleMania against The Undertaker.
Okay. I mean, that's just my only thing. I mean, that would probably be the only reason why I would go back to watching WWE and probably WrestleMania. That would be the Undertaker versus Shield.
Yeah.
I mean,
I could definitely see, like, maybe a 3-on-1 or something at WrestleMania, and if the Shield goes over Taker at Mania and breaks the streak, then you've just made those three guys for life.
You did, you know. I mean, Undertaker has done a handicap match before at WrestleMania. Everyone knows A-Train. Well, yeah.
We don't want to know, but we know. Wasn't meant to be a handicap match, though.
It wasn't. But.
Yeah, that was them saying Nathan Jones is just so unusable. We'd rather do a handicap match.
Dude, you suck so bad you can't even work for Canadian All Pro. Fuck off,
dude. You're tagging with Undertaker, and we still don't trust your performance.
You know what? I mean, if he can't work, if he likes to stiff people, what can you do? And you botch? Yeah, I mean, you can give him a receipt if you want, but still, if it's not to the standards, there you go.
Almost sounds like we're describing a certain somebody I know here in Calgary. Anyway!
let's not recap the career of Australia's biggest failure to come out of the country wrestling-wise.
Nathan Jones.
Okay, well then, yeah. Bottom line.
We've got bigger and better things sitting in developmental over there at the moment.
Right.
I
mean, bottom line, case in point, you know, I mean, I'm glad WWE is putting a lot of work into the Shield, because, I mean, they could probably be the next best heel stable in WWE right now, because, I mean, let's face it, WWE title picture, I don't know where that's going. They won't give it to the person who I believe should be WWE champion by now, but, you know.
Well, let me ask you this real quick before we go to a break, because it's time for me to have a cigarette. What do you think is the better genesis or beginnings, if you will, of a faction? The Shield as they are now, or the NWO when they first kicked off? Which one was better?
Crap.
Don't you hate it when I make you think, Mike?
No, it's not even that. It's just, I can't even answer that. Because, in my honest opinion, they're both the same.
Really?
To me, yes.
He's got a point.
Okay.
The Shield is the modern-day NWO.
Okay, they're the same but different. And it's my opinion, you can correct me if I'm wrong, and if this gives you cause to debate and discuss, feel free. But it's my opinion. Go ahead, Omega. You might as well go ahead and interrupt. You do all the time anyway.
Well, I know when you get rolling, I just don't get a chance to get back into the conversation.
Well, okay. Get back into it.
See, I would call them the modern-day NWO only because they are a faction of three and very talented wrestlers that are very, very strongly booked right now. But whereas the NWO was gang mentality. It was, we have numbers, so you lose.
Mm-hmm.
The Shield is, rather than gang warfare, I compare more to like a SWAT team. They're tactical.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, it's kind of like NWO professional.
You just kind of sort of backed up what I'm about to say before I even said it. NWO.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, there you go. NWO, you know, here is three guys who were very, very well known, and they had their own kinds of success for, you know, various and sundry reasons. They decided to band together and be some kind of anarchist group. Now you have the Shield. These guys, absolutely great wrestlers. Not so well known, but great wrestlers. And they work as a team. There's no anarchy with these guys. It's all teamwork. The great wrestling never happened with the original NWO members, let's face facts.
Okay?
Okay. It's more cohesive, more concise, better presented units. Omega, don't go there. Better presented.
I'm sorry. Are you implying Scott Norton didn't have great matches back in WCW?
Would I do something like that? Seriously. The Shield, to me, is the better beginning of the faction than the NWO was. Because overall, they're better wrestlers. They also aren't the ones booking themselves. Kevin Nash. Discuss. Go ahead.
Okay. The difference, well, unless they are, the Shield is going to pull a NWO and bring a big giant, I don't know, Bray Wyatt, someone like that. I mean, right now, them and the NWO, the only thing that they need to do is go to the announce table and start talking trash. That's like the only thing I can see them doing, and then I could be like, okay, they're good. But it's just Roman Reigns who needs to work on his promos. And then they would be great. Just saying.
Dead air.
Well, that was your chance to actually get in on the topic before somebody moved on and you didn't get a chance to say anything, Omega.
Oh, you asshole.
You brought it on.
I mean, my bad.
My bad.
It's like I said, the Shield and NWO are like even right now.
See, I think that's actually really high praise considering they don't have three huge stars to their name.
That people don't know of. For people who watch just plain WWE, of course they're not going to know them. But
which
for
is
people,
the majority of people watching WWE.
Which is why I'm going to which is why I'm going to explain. The fact that you have, I'm sorry, not Seth Rollins, Tyler Black, a Ring of Honor champion, wasn't he the NXT champion? Yes. Now, people don't know who he is, but now it's like, oh my god, isn't that like that guy Seth Rollins from WWE NXT? He's the champion. That's the only thing that they know him of. And then you have Dean Ambrose. Or some people know him as Joe Moxley. Chikara, Dragon Gate, CZW, you know.
I still can't believe someone from CZW made it.
Yeah, shush.
Yeah, shush.
And then you have Roman Reigns.
Okay, Mike, you gotta make your point. You got 30 seconds before we gotta go.
Oh, plain and simple, if the people don't know them, well, they need to work on knowing them. I mean, if Daniel Bryan can make his name after ROH, then they can too.
There you go. And that from, hey, that's from the cheap seats. No offense or judgment offered, Mike. Just saying.
It's quite all right.
So everybody, yeah, you're listening to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, approved and endorsed by the one and only former TNA X Division champion, Hot Shot Johnny Devine. Don't go anywhere. We got a lot more show coming your way. We're actually going to let you know what happened with Canadian All-Pro Wrestling in just a little bit. Right now, we got to say thanks to the caller. Yeah, that's right. He figured out how to call in. You guys can figure out how to call in, too. We'll let you do that. And in the meantime, we'll be back right after this.
Interpretation is brought to you by Taste and Good Form. Oh, you were not aware of this? Your posterior better contact someone at once.
Ladies and gentlemen, young people of all gender and ages, Taste and Decency proudly presents to you
the home of the award-winning BrackRadioShow.com. Here you'll be able to find information about the show, how to buy our one-of-a-kind merchandise, and, of course, all the great interviews we have done, including interviews with the likes of Trish Stratus, Christopher Daniels, and, of course, WWE superstar The Miz. Once again, that's BrackRadioShow.com.
And if you're not down with that, we have two words for you. You're welcome!
Every Saturday night, you never know what to expect when cigarette butts and bandanas hit the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ha ha ha! Is that Shell Station open? Ha ha ha! Daddy might have himself some cig. I just gotta cross a fucking freeway that would kill me. Eight fucking lanes. Eight motherfucking lanes. Dude, the Godfather of me dies. He just fucking loses the match and keeps on ticking. Fucking eight lanes, the motherfucking highway! Alright, if this place is closed, I'm gonna kill somebody. Yeah, this place looks like I might get robbed by a guy in slightly
darker complexion than I am.
Do you have to run back across the highway?
Yeah, I know. I gotta run across fucking three lanes of highway now. God damn it. The bad thing is, I probably don't have $7 in my fucking name, so I'm gonna have to use my damn credit card or my debit card as a fucking way to pay for $7. Fuck, it fucking better be open. I fucking walked across 13 lanes of highway for this. They're not open. What the fuck? Are you sure you're not open?
Can I get a pack of Camel Light?
Hell yeah. Oh my god. Alright. Safe now. People aren't dying yet.
You ready, Rob? Now you gotta run again.
I do, because actually the fucking light's green, no one's coming, no one's turning, and I gotta go. That's because I should have just crossed the other street, because now I gotta cross another street. Man, somebody give me a goddamn... Ah, it's fucking Sunday, you can't buy beer. Wait a minute, what time is it?
It's 12:30.
I'm a goo. Ah, forget about it. Get it? All right, I'll just smoke my cigarettes and be fucking happy. Oh, no, that's fucking just perfect. Green light just came on this fucking... I'm about to be plowed by fucking three 18-wheelers and a fucking Jeep Wrangler. Fuck me, man. I got to light a cigarette for this run.
Whether you are a badass, a godfather, or anything in between, the answer is cigarette butts and bandanas live midnight, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So now you get to enjoy that nicotine, huh?
Yeah.
And now, haiku time, with René Gasodai and Some Dumb Was Idiot.
Cheap Heat Radio. Not at all ripped off. Truly, we would never lie.
Opinions mixed. Many arguments will be had. But Lita is a slut.
Wild Talk Radio. Home of Cheap Heat Radio. Inside Braden's belly.
Views expressed within. Only those of Guy Talking. Standard boilerplate.
Got an indie show? Promote it on our show now. Many more people.
Wrestling gets discussed. Pop culture references made. Cheap Heat Radio.
Cheap Heat Radio. Our thoughts may not be true, but... your sports team does suck.
We need ad ideas. Haikus are running their course. Next time the hosts rap.
Cheap Heat Radio. Join us at 8:30 time. Cause what else is on?
Hey everybody, this is Joseph Talk from Impact Wrestling, and you're listening to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ring, ring, hello, hello, hey, it's Cindy in. No, who is this? What do you mean, who is this? This is Jimmy Hart, the Mouth of the South. Where is she? She's going to the Rick Springfield concert. Rick Springfield?
And welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Wrestling Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network with the producer playing some funky, funky tunes for you as we go to break and come back. What the hell are you on, boy?
I like how Jimmy Hart apparently couldn't get a female singer to do the other voice on the phone.
And so he did his own, yeah.
It sounded nothing. Sound exact same voice on both sides of the conversation.
I mean, could you at least try to make it sound different? Well, he did. That's the problem. It's the Mouth of the South. Yeah. So, hey, guys, Iron Man 3 is opening up next weekend.
Ooh, talk about old news.
Yeah. You going to go see it? You going to go see it?
I'm seeing it tomorrow night, but it's been out here for about a week.
Well, yeah, and our friends in the UK have already seen it.
Yes, but in North America, we get to see it like a week late, and then you get Hollywood and the MCAA and all these other people bitching and complaining that there's stuff that you can download off the internet to watch it and actually, you know, not go to the theater, pay your $15.
I'm tired of this. Why does every other country get to have this movie first? We made the fucking thing.
Oh yeah,
because for majorities of the 80s, 90s, and the early 2000s, you guys got every fucking movie first, and we'd get usually about 2 to 3 months later. This is called revenge, bitch.
This isn't a. I don't. This is not revenge.
No, this is foreign money paying for the production. Oh, you want $50 million? All right, then we get to see the movie before you do. Come on.
Okay, why was Ringo Starr negotiating that?
That wasn't Ringo Starr.
That's what it sounded like.
That wasn't Ringo Starr. Ringo Starr's more like this. Anyway, that's beside the point.
Jeez.
Ever promised a good thing.
Continue.
So yeah, no. Few people have been mentioning, like with this Iron Man 3, that it's another one of those unfortunate things because of what happened with you know, like Boston and the bombers and stuff like that. The storyline, correct me if I'm wrong, has something to do with Iron Man having to track down some kind of rogue bomber. How unfortunate is this?
Not entirely.
Yeah, the main storyline is twofold in this. One is dealing with the Mandarin, which is one of Iron Man's main villains.
Mm-hmm.
Who is very cold, calculating, and yes, in this, he is portrayed as a terrorist.
Mm-hmm.
Pure and simple. Dude likes blowing shit up. The other half also has to do with extremists, which I don't even want to go into because that'll make a lot of people's brains hurt.
Basically, he controls suit with his brain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know basis. I have been on Wikipedia. If you want to find out, it's all on Wikipedia. Just go read the plot synopsis. It's all on there.
Yeah.
But yeah. See, I can't really comment much on it because, again, I'm not going to see it until tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be honest. For those people who are sitting there going, I wonder if I should get the things that are sitting on the websites right now. Don't. Video, crystal clear, absolutely brilliant, but audio, bad. You can't hear shit.
Not that I
can personal experience or anything like that.
Yeah, absolutely not.
No, I'm 100% nice and legal and legit.
Yeah, sure. Everybody else is bad, we're good.
Yeah. But, before Iron Man 3 has opened in the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
the film has already made close to 200 mil.
Freaky, isn't it?
Yeah, that's even before it hits the U.S.
Yeah. Because let's face it, they only care about domestic box office before they count other receipts, even though the other receipts are coming in first.
Well, they've already started counting it. That's why they have said it is close to 200 million.
Yeah. Well, I am willing to bet that you are disappointed about one thing with Iron Man being, you know, totally PG and family friendly. No demon in the bottle storyline arc, right, Mace?
Gee, I wonder if you've been reading my Facebook, Tim. But yes,
don't give away company secrets.
The exclusion of demon in the bottle, I am disappointed with. I am not angry about it. I am disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
As it is probably one of. And again, this is a personal opinion. It is what I consider one of the key storylines in Iron Man mythology.
Well, that was an absolutely huge comic way back, like back in the 70s when they brought it up, and it was a very, you know, adult storyline for kids to read.
was also the first time that alcoholism was also sort of put through in a comic book format. So yeah. Yes, it was very breaking.
I actually had that comic book.
There's one specific issue that's actually worth a lot more, which is issue 128,
mm-hmm.
which is the one with Tony Stark with the Iron Man suit in front of him looking in the mirror. That's the cover. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Spook, no spoiler alert. We're just, you know, talking about it. We haven't seen it, so we can't spoil the damn thing.
Yeah. I haven't seen it. I'm going to go see it tomorrow. Meg hasn't seen it. So we're not getting into anything that you can't deduce yourself from the trailers.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to take Owen to go see it, and we're going to make a big, huge day out of it. We're going to go to one of the multiplexes that has like six great, big, huge screens, and we're going to go see like two or three movies that day. And it'll just be a father-son day out. And you know, what you do, Tim,
is you sit down with Owen at your place, put on Iron Man 1 and 2, and then go see 3. Or maybe, actually no, you put on 1, 2, Avengers, then 3.
You know, we're actually doing that.
That way you recap the entire storyline.
Well, we've seen all three movies like 10 times each, but that's what we're doing. We're actually gonna sit down, and after playing hockey outside, we're gonna watch the movies in sequence. And then we're going to catch Iron Man 3.
I could be really annoying and tell you the order that you should watch them all in.
You don't have to. Because here it is. All of the movies, I already know which order to watch them in because that's the order I've watched them in several times over.
So you've gone Iron Man, Hulk, Iron Man 2, Thor, Captain America, Avengers, Iron Man 3.
There you go. Are you able to keep up? Yes. Awesome.
Hey, I did that the other day myself.
But okay, yeah, I know. Here's a list of times during the movie that you can look down at your popcorn or snack, and here's the designated piss breaks of the movie.
Okay, now you're just getting into Star Trek fans bullshit area.
Yeah, and the new Star Trek isn't out yet, so let's talk about that.
Yeah, the new Star Trek comes out a couple of weeks after Iron Man 3, and there are two movies I'm looking forward to, naturally, Iron Man 3 and Star Trek Into Darkness.
Hmm. Not so much in the Star Trek. I'm sorry, I like the cheesiness of the originals. I'm not a big fan of the reboots.
Yeah. As an original fan of the originals, I like the reboot. Anyway, go ahead, Omega. You keep getting interrupted.
No, seriously.
Like, talk.
Yeah, I do like.
What are you waiting for? All right, I'll stop. Go ahead.
I enjoyed the reboot. I'm looking forward to Lens Flare 2.
Oh yes, that's the only request I have for Star Trek Into Darkness. Less lens flares,
and I'm sorry, I don't want the. Okay. I enjoyed the storyline. I like that they did the alternate universe thing. So, okay, for the hardcore Trekkies or just the ones with specific preferences, it doesn't muddle with anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that I appreciate it. So the storyline, the acting, okay, I liked all of that. Design work. I don't know why a Romulan ship is dripping wet all the time. Why the fuck? And I don't know. Personally, I don't want the bridge of the Enterprise to look like an Apple store.
That was a bit of a detraction, wasn't it?
I almost expected that little Apple logo to be just stamped on everything. Not that I'm not convinced they won't own most of the world by the 23rd century.
Yeah, well, the way they're going, you never know.
Them and Google. One or the other will buy the planet first.
Yeah. So, but yeah, those are the movies I'm looking forward to seeing. Now, why are we talking movies? Because we feel like talking movies. But it does tie into Transformers 4. apparently The Rock has turned down a starring role in Transformers 4.
Do you want a guaranteed starring role in one of the biggest money-making franchises out right now?
Mm-hmm. No matter how disappointing movies 2 and 3 were.
That's because he signed on for Hercules before he was offered the role.
The Rock
and I for one, am happy.
You're happy he's not in Transformers 4 because you're afraid he'd ruin it, or what?
Okay, if anyone's worried that The Rock would ruin Transformers 4, they've got their priorities backwards.
Yeah. But the only reason why... Okay, let me give you the only reason why I would actually like The Rock in Transformers 4, and it would only be if they do this properly. If they have him come in as his character from G.I. Joe 2. So that way we get finally have the G.I. Joe Transformers crossover that all fans want.
I have a conspiracy theory behind why they don't do that.
Oh, do tell.
If one or the other ever completely and totally fails, as Transformers did in the early 90s and almost did again in the mid 90s, and the same thing, G.I. Joe went through a bad period too. If either brand ever fails, then they do the Transformers and G.I. Joe crossover. That way they keep all the trademarks, they keep the names fresh, and it's what fans always wanted to do. Guaranteed way of keeping both present and on the shelves and keep all their trademarks nice and owned.
And thanks to George Lucas, sell more merchandise and make a bigger profit.
Do we really have to thank Lucas for that?
Well, yeah, you kind of do, because he's the one who basically revolutionized merchandising for movies. Because merchandising for movies was not a big deal until Star Wars.
All right.
I know, begrudgingly give him that.
So. Someone on my Twitter account just linked a photo of George Lucas squeezing a custom Jar Jar Binks whoopee cushion.
Oh my god.
And yet they sound exactly the same.
Well, whoopee cushion's less annoying.
True.
Now wait a second, it's Jar Jar Binks whoopee cushion. How could it be less annoying?
Well, to be fair, the noise coming out of it is far more intelligent.
Yeah.
Okay. Point.
Here's my disappointment. If Rock had been in Transformers 4, we could have just gotten it over with and just stamped the Hasbro trademark right in the back of his head. Copyright 2013 Hasbro, made in Miami.
There you go. Yeah, that works.
I would have had I don't know why. I just don't think The Rock fits in the whole Transformers thing. Yeah, it's a military jerk off movie, like just about every other Michael Bay film. But I don't know. It just, if anything, I'd want to keep The Rock out of it for The Rock's career. Like he's starting to build himself as an action star. So why go to probably one of I don't want to say worst franchises, but it's getting there.
Okay, I've got three words for you as far as The Rock's career and problems. Okay? First word, Disney. Second two words, Tooth Fairy.
Here's the problem, though. Those movies banked.
I know, that's what's scary. Yeah.
Well, to be fair, he's kind of gotten he's gotten away from that a little bit. Okay, you know, he does Fast 6, he does G.I. Joe 2, which I haven't seen, but from all accounts was way better than 1. And
only just.
And right now he's in a Michael Bay movie, Pain and Gain.
Now, from what I hear, from all accounts, Pain and Gain is actually worth seeing. Like, just...
Yeah.
You know, geekism and fanboy shit.
Yeah. It's,
you know?
there's a lot of snobbery going on with it because it's a Michael Bay movie, but the people I know that have seen it have absolutely loved it.
Well, you know, yeah, look, Michael Bay can make a good movie.
It's a Michael Bay film. Look, some Michael Bay films can actually be watchable. Just
Bad
keep
Boys.
Him away from my fucking childhood.
Yeah, Bad Boys.
Yeah. Bad Boys, yes. Very
Bad
much
Boys and, ironically, just, The Rock.
Yep.
Is it bad that I want to see a remake of The Rock starring The Rock? Just to see that on the poster?
Just to see it on the poster, yes, that's bad that you want that. I mean, like, you know, you've
think
got
of how much. Think of how much we'd save in printing if we only had to put one name on it.
Mace, go for it.
Yeah, like.
The Rock, directed by The Rock, a Michael Bay film.
That's fine. Some Michael Bay films can, like we've just said, they can be watchable. Just keep him the fuck away from my childhood.
There you go.
Think about childhood. Ninja Turtles.
Oh no! Don't give him ideas.
No, there's no ideas. That's happening.
I know. Yeah. Damn it.
Luckily. The last report I heard about the movie is they shot down the alien idea completely.
Good.
It's a start.
It's a start.
Yeah, and then they hired on Megan Fox.
Why? Don't remind me!
Now,
I'm hoping she gets run over by the Technodrome.
Yeah, no, here's the thing, guys. Megan Fox got fired from the Transformers movies
for saying...
She's not smart
enough to be Krang.
Okay, she got fired from the Transformers franchise for saying bad things about Michael Bay. Now she's in, supposedly, another Michael Bay film. What happened?
Great lips.
Money.
She was taking lessons from Lita, in other words.
Yeah, quite possibly.
There you go. That's all that we needed to hear. Yeah.
But speaking of, like, The Rock turning down Transformers 4... The other one I'm hoping that he suddenly isn't able to do due to filming other stuff is Expendables 3. Because he said, I would like to be in Expendables 3.
Well, he's too young to be in Expendables 3.
Pretty much.
Because he should have been in Expendables 1 so he could have fought Austin with guns.
That'd be cool.
That I'd pay money for. Only because at the point where they both run out of bullets, you know they'll go straight into a wrestling match. and to see in the middle of like the scene at the end where they're in the compound and everything and there's explosions going off everywhere, you know, it's good old 80s fun. To see Austin give The Rock a stunner while an explosion goes off in the background. And then have The Rock oversell it onto a landmine and explode.
Of course.
I just have a hard time picturing the people's elbows in an Expendables movie, that's all.
Yeah, no, he's had the rock bottom in his movies before.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, the rock bottom is just basically a glorified side slam. Let's face it, guys. Reverse, like, you know. Anyway. One more thing before we take a quick break. Have you guys heard of Epic Labs? They've got a supplement called Undertaker.
No, we haven't, Tim. Why don't you tell us what it is?
Well, they've released the supplement called Undertaker Promising Results the Same as Steroids, and they're one of the catchphrases, they're promising tombstone results.
Okay. No health supplement should ever promise anything involving a tombstone.
Possibly not. Secondly, isn't this a company giving a great big old fuck you to WWE and possibly Vince by doing something like this, by basically flouting copyright and being able to get away with it legally?
They're not specifically referring to any character named Undertaker. That's the problem. And there's WWE never, you know, when you file a trademark, it's for certain uses. And if WWE never filed a trademark for, you know, supplements, energy drinks, or, you know, beverage of any kind with the Undertaker's name, then they've got no claim over it.
Mm. Well, the other thing about it, they're not calling it The Undertaker. Otherwise, you know, WWE might have actually had a chance to do something. But I could just see Titan Towers. Oh, they can't do this. Well, yeah, they can. Look at this. No, they can't do this. Yeah, they can. I want them to shoot. There's no cage. You can't do that.
Well, you never know. I've seen it happen a few times.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, you can get away when you play the copyright game just right. You can get away with so many things. They came out with a tab. I want to say they came out with a tablet. It was a tablet or a smartphone, one or the other, called the Transformer Prime.
Uh huh.
Transformers Prime is the name of the current toy line, TV show. You know, pretty much everything that is Transformers right now.
Yep.
But they got away with it.
Hmm. Now, how did they get away with it?
Just because the trademarks are for different uses. Okay. Hasbro doesn't trademark a Transformer Prime tablet, so out of luck.
You see, when you decide to trademark something, make sure you cover all your bases, kids. Yeah. So that being said, hey, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, and for those of you interested in what happened last night in Canadian All-Pro Wrestling, we're going to give you the detailed rundown of the show. Everybody, you're listening to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestling Talk Radio. We'll be back right after this.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Buck. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns...
After 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moment.
Oh my God! Oh my God! Don't do this, bro!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday night, we bring to you The Rock.
These people yearn for enlightenment. Who do they have to turn to? Who do they have to place upon a pedestal so that they may bask in the glow of their own essence? In short, the answer is no one.
We bring you a complete recap of Impact Wrestling, along with all the latest news and unique discussions about the world of professional wrestling.
Sure, there are those who attempt to appeal to the unwashed masses, but they are nothing more than false prophets whom I will expose.
Join us Thursday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern, for The Rock.
I am the bright beam of enlightenment that will serve as the avenging sword of taste and decency.
Redefining pro wrestling talk from the fans, for the fans, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You're welcome!
don't care what y'all say.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network. Keep listening, because stratisfaction is guaranteed.
That sounds like a very bad Leonard Cohen.
Interesting.
Welcome back, everybody, to WTRS tonight. Let's talk radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It's now that little segment here that we use to basically fill you in on what happened last night at Canadian All Pro Wrestling. It was April Assault. Of course, the main event was Fans Bring the Weapons match, and the guys said he'd eat each other with everything but the kitchen sink, only because nobody brought one.
And apparently no one brought the Legos.
Nobody brought Legos, despite the fact that he's got a two-year-old who loves Legos, and he said, I'm going to bring a bunch of Legos, and we'll build a Lego table. And he's in the chat room listening right now, and I'm probably getting a phone call after the show getting yelled at because he's like my business partner.
So he lied to us?
Well, I wouldn't say he lied. He could have forgotten.
Tim, this is where you're supposed to remind him.
Well, by the way, bring Legos for the Fans Bring the Weapons match.
It's a little oh, wait. Too late.
God damn it.
Just pointing that one out, Tim. You're a little bit late.
Oh, well. Next time, better luck.
I suppose better luck next time. Anyway.
Yeah. That's what I said. Next time, better luck.
Anyway, you had an interesting show last night.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah, it all kicked off with Dynamite Dan coming out from the back with, of course, accompanied by the Dynamite Doll, who happens to be the daughter of the Dynamite Kid. You know, remembers a tag team, British Bulldogs, back in the late 80s, early 90s.
Never heard of them.
Anyway, yeah, nobody's ever heard of them.
They've never done anything in the business. Never.
Anyway, he came out and he actually talked about the six-man tag team match that was the main event for the previous show. He was a little upset about how everything ended. He figured that he should be the title holder, having the Commonwealth Championship title around his waist, instead of Dungeon Master Johnny Devine. That's right, he's calling himself Dungeon Master.
And but what was with the Kermit the Frog voice for Johnny's name?
Did I do Kermit the Frog?
Sort of, you started going into that voice.
Dungeon Master Johnny! I can't do Kermit the Frog. Hey!
So tell me, does Johnny have to roll dice to see how much damage his moves do?
No, it's not that kind of dungeon, but you know what? That's funny. Just give me an idea when I have to talk on the
Well, now instead of tacks or Legos, he just has to spill out a bunch of like dice on the ring.
That'd be hilarious. If he brings a dice and he rolls them, looks at them, and then like powerbomb somebody.
Well, like the actual like Dungeon Master, bring the old felt bag.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, it's not Dungeons and Dragons. He got the Dungeon Master thing from. He's the Dungeon Master. He was trained in Stu Hart's dungeon. And, you know, he's pretty much trying to tell you that he's got all of the dungeon training mastered.
But are you sure he hasn't played Dungeons and Dragons, Tim? Have you ever asked that question?
Okay. Yep. Have you ever met Johnny Devine?
Make it a feud. Make someone come out dressed up as a wizard mocking him.
Spook, what do you think? Spook, should I talk to Devine and find out what he thinks about somebody coming out dressed as a wizard? To challenge him for the title.
It would be good for a Halloween show.
Standing there trying to cast lightning bolts at him.
It'll be all, a Halloween show. You guys are, like, huge geeks. It's just, you know, like, there's geek and then there's you guys.
I'm just thinking of ways of making fun of him for calling himself the Dungeon Master.
Hold on, Tim, hold on.
And, and let's keep in mind, I'm also trying to come up with a way of making fun of him calling himself the Dungeon Master that can be used on a PG family show.
Mm. And, yeah, getting me in trouble at the same time. Thanks.
Well, if we're not getting you in trouble...
You ain't doing your job. Exactly. Piss off.
So, Dynamite Dan was in the ring talking about the match. He wants a title shot.
Yeah, well, he got interrupted by Maverick Mike Briggs, who came out saying that the belt should be his, and he wasn't the only one that caused the loss. You know, it was a 6-man tag match, and there were more than one person involved in the fact that Johnny Devine won and they didn't. Blah blah bloody blah blah. Next thing you know, they're pushing each other, going back and forth. It's a little shoving match. That got interrupted by Devine came out. You know, Devine's, let me get this straight. And, like, he whined, and it was hilarious. I can't give it justice. I mean, we'll get video up so you can hear it. I just don't want to do the whiny thing anymore. And, Rock, if you clip any of that, I will cause you pain.
You threaten every week, Tim.
I'm telling you, it's going to happen. I will make it happen. I will cause for it to be a reality.
You threaten.
My influence is growing, okay?
Yeah.
It's going to happen at some point. Anyway.
Anyway.
So he decided, listen, you guys want to fight? I feel like fighting. Why don't we all fight? So there you go. Dungeon Master offers to put up his title in a 3-way matchup with these other two guys. And so there you go. We've got the main event, or the semi-main event, all planned out because of this. And, I mean, you know, like, well, what we were going to do with Devine, he was kind of sort of like had... up until that point had the night off because Kamikaze was not in town, and Kamikaze will be returning for the May 18th show to do everything he can to attempt to basically take the belt off of Devine's hands, which is all fine and dandy, but in the meantime he decided, he wasn't forced, it was all of his own volition that this came about. I just want to make that known that it was his idea. So after the fact.
So. Credit for it now. Anyway.
Yeah. So the first, after all of this nonsense, we cleared out the ring and got the show actually taking off. First match of the night, we got newcomer and Storm Wrestling Academy graduate by the name of Paul Bailey, deciding to come out and actually taking on Scott Lee Crew, which is not a good idea if you're a newbie. Scott Lee Crew, he's a mean bugger.
Is he big and muscular?
Yeah, I wouldn't say big. He's short.
No, I'm saying in muscle size.
Like, he's got a couple of muscles, but what he's got more of are action-packed moves and the ability to hurt you if he wants to. I'm not going to say that he's a dirty fighter, but just because I didn't say it doesn't mean it's not true.
Right.
Yeah, well, Scott LeCrew got the pinfall victory on Paul Bailey.
I think it was at this point Mace had a comment about your ring announcer after this match.
Oh, did he? What was the comment?
Mace.
Well, just in general, you might want to tell him to wait until the wrestlers have exited the ring before getting in there, especially if he gets in during the middle of a fucking beatdown.
Yeah, that would not be a smart move.
Yeah, because the second he steps in the ring, he becomes a target.
Yep.
So you might want to let him know that if he's going to do that again, wait until the guys are out of the ring before you get in.
That would be a good idea, I think. Yeah. So, Sly Stone, if you're listening, don't do it. You're going to get hoit.
And that's coming from the boss, the CEO.
Yeah, there you go. That would be me. So, yeah, so that's, that's the first match. And so Scott LeCrew wins. The second match was the very first match of the Canadian All-Pro Wrestling Championship Tournament. Mm-hmm. We had Canadian All-Pro Wrestling newcomer and independent professional wrestling veteran and part-time tag team partner to Dynamite Dan, a guy by the name of Pete Powers, literally making his debut in Canadian All-Pro Wrestling, took on Slammer. And poor Slammer. Slammer lost and got pinned, and Pete Powers won.
Boo.
Yeah, well, you know, shit happens. But Scott LeCrew decided to come running out, and he attacked Pete Powers after the match.
So you're talking about there was a little bit of a brouhaha after the match?
Just a tiniest little bit of a brouhaha after the match. Yeah, Slammer gets up off the canvas and actually helps Scott LeCrew beat up on Pete Powers. Now, Pete Powers is not a tiny guy, but, you know, Slammer is pretty pretty solid SOB. And Scott LeCrew, he's a dirty little trickster. And so they were punting on him pretty good. But Dynamite Dan came running out and basically made the save. So don't be surprised if you see, a tag match between these guys at some future date in Canadian All Pro Wrestling.
So you mean that, the part-time partners are going to team up and fight two people? Oh.
Yeah, interesting, isn't it?
It's very interesting.
Very interesting, yep. So, that's what happened with the second match. So Pete Powers moves on in the tournament. Now, the third match, another tournament match, was the big French-Canadian Andre Williams, who is 4,000, what was it? 4,200 ounces.
I thought it was 4,008 ounces?
4,800 ounces or 4,200 ounces, something like that.
It had an 8 in 4,000 and an 8 in there somehow.
Okay, so it was 4,800 ounces or 48,000, I don't know,
it was a lot of ounces.
It was a lot of ounces. Anyway, taking on Evan Adams, all of 165 pounds.
So what's the conversion rate?
I have no clue.
Because if you have a guy with 48,000 ounces and a guy with 165 pounds, there's kind of a little bit of a disadvantage.
Yeah, well, what's the conversion? Well, 1,000 milliliters is a liter.
Anyway, let's not do math on the show. It always ends badly.
A liter is pretty close to a pint.
We'll get there. Just give us a minute.
There you go. Yeah, 48. There it is, 4,800 ounces. Thanks, Spooks. He was there last night, so.
Oh, sorry, it's 4,800. Okay.
Yeah, Spook is one of our, he's actually one of our security guys. So.
4,800 ounces, 300 pounds.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you very much, Mr. Okay. Let's Google that. And
now, how much is it in stones?
Stop it. How many British people from England do we have listening?
I don't know.
Live? Maybe not too many, but, you know, wait until the archive. Mm-hmm. By the way, hi, British.
Hi, British.
Hi, British, just in case. I don't want you to think I'm picking on you.
Is there always like, hi, Russians?
Yeah, well, you know, we don't know that any Russians listen because nobody ever talks to us in Russian.
All right, so hi, Swedes.
Okay.
Because we know one listens.
here it is. Well, while I'm looking at the conversion, I take a look at it. 4,800 ounces is 136 kilos. That's pretty close to what I weigh, and I don't look anywhere near as fat as that guy does.
Well, it's because you don't eat poutine, which is the French-Canadian version.
I know what that is.
Fried southern cooking. You know, that shit'll kill you.
That's the Canadian version of a fucking heart attack.
Yes. And for the record, I have never, nor do I ever plan to eat poutine.
We've seen you, Tim. You're not that fat, so yeah, we can see why.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could eat a plate of that and you'd be right. Nothing had really changed.
Put a little weight on.
Guys, I weigh 182 pounds. I think that's enough.
At least it's not as bad as when I have to plan my trip to the States. I have to drop at least 40 pounds before I leave the country.
Okay, time out. Breaking news alert. Starscream Josh, you're a smartass. That is all. We now return you to regular programming. Why did I call him a smartass? Mace, look in the chat room. Wise ass.
Well, good.
Yeah, anyway, this match, Andre Williams is dominating a good portion of it, but Evan Adams wasn't exactly a clean player in this little tournament. He winds up winning, but afterwards he beat down the big French-Canadian dude. I mean, he just went to town. He just beat the crap out of him.
I noticed that.
Yeah, I'm like, what the hell, what the hell? You know, and the ring announcer, here it is, okay? The ring announcer is the first one in the ring to check on him.
Mm-hmm.
Not the referee, not security, but the ring announcer goes to check on him. you know, I go flying up, and he's just out. He's out. So Slide tries to get him, but he can't. So all he could do is roll him, right? Pillsbury Doughboy type style.
Roly-poly. So just... Go ahead.
Anyway, yeah, he rolled him out, and there I am like a dope, all on 182 pounds of me, trying to help him out of the ring. Mm-hmm. He falls out of the ring and promptly takes me right to the floor with him.
Wow.
Need to get you into the gym.
Yeah, well, I got security to come over. We got him up off his ass, or ample gut, because he was lying on his face down. Got him up and got him back to the back room. Turns out that he happens to have a concussion. Nice going out of an Adams. Not bad enough. You got to beat him, but you got to, like, hurt him.
Shouldn't you fine him a little bit?
Well, he just might get in trouble.
You know, as the boss, you should fine a guy for injuring, you know, one of your talent.
Well, you know, he's definitely going to get a talking to.
Oh, a talking to?
He's definitely going to get a talking to. It's going to be a very stern lecture.
Is he going to get a timeout, too, and have to stand in the corner?
He just might get a timeout. It might last for an entire show. You never
know. Are you going to send him to bed without supper?
I know, I don't do that.
You got to remember, once again, this is Tim. His punishments don't work. We know this quite well on this network.
Yeah, because you guys are all jackasses to begin with. Anyway!
Finger wagging says Starscream Jeff.
Yeah. There you go. So anyway, yeah, unfortunately, Andre Williams has been concussed. He spent 6 hours in emergency last night.
Mm-hmm.
And he's at home resting comfortably.
Good. We wish him the speedy recovery.
Yeah, he's, you know, I'm not his biggest fan, but I don't like seeing anybody get hurt like that. So.
Yeah, you don't want to see a guy get injured like that.
No, especially when, you know, they have to wrestle for me.
Exactly.
Yeah. Not to sound like a jerk promoter, but I figured I better play the role. No, I just, the important thing to me is that he has a speedy recovery and doesn't suffer any complications or other problems with it. So.
Don't spill meanwhile, your beer.
Yeah, meanwhile, I'm knocking all over all my cans.
Yeah.
So, yeah, on Evan Adams advances on the firm. So we've got two people who go to the next round. Now, we got some kind of a weird-ass grunge match up next between Katana and Steven Styles. These guys, you know, they were the Brotherhood, but I guess they had a falling out, and they're all just, like, ticked off at each other. And this thing, this was not a wrestling match, guys. It was a fight. It went out of the ring really quickly, and they just started beating down on each other all the way down the aisle into the stands, you know, right next to the fans. And they both got counted out and disqualified, so they both got thrown out of the title tournament.
Oh, such
no,
a
no,
shame.
You got that wrong. That was Styles looking for the buffet.
Well, I think that he's going to have a nice long time trying to find it.
I heard reports, though, Tim, today. They're still fighting somewhere in Calgary. Or Edmonton.
No, I think they're probably they've probably made it up to Red Deer, which is halfway between Calgary and Edmonton.
Okay. They're up to Red Deer at this point fighting. Okay, just making sure. So they're out of the tournament now.
Yep.
Good.
Which is, you know, whatever. They're out of the tournament. Just more room for other guys. So you know, after this, we had the intermission, which was a lot of fun. Gave away some money, did all this, that, you know, stuff, saying happy birthday to one of our young fans who happens to be one of the kids who makes the belts.
He had a nice little party hat on his head, didn't he?
Yeah, a little green party hat. And then here, I'm in the ring. It's time to give away the $50 from the 50-50 draw. And I'm looking around, and, oh, yeah, it's his birthday, so let's call him in. Let's see, who's going to help me out? Conehead. I called him Conehead.
So you called the little kid Conehead.
I called the little kid Conehead.
You're a dick, Tim.
I'm a dick.
Yeah, you're a dick.
He smiled and was all happy about it, and a few people chuckled because they got it, right? And the other ones are all smiles because, oh, well, he's got a pointy hat on, so that's why they called him Conehead. I'm like, oh, my God, go back and check out the 70s. Anyway, so... You get in there, and I said, what's with the hat? And he says, well, it's my birthday, and that's when everybody's saying to him. And I thought that was pretty cool. I got a piece of cake, birthday cake.
Blair's ours.
He brought me a piece of birthday cake.
So you get cake and we don't get cake? That ain't fair.
Well, hey, there's a way you can get cake.
And how's that, Tim?
Well, you figure out how to get your asses to Calgary. That's all I can tell you.
Well, we take this bus and then take that bus and get on that plane.
Because cake is such a rare commodity, we need to fly for it.
Well, yeah, it's like Hostess Twinkies.
Those are coming back.
Those come back in July.
Not in Australia.
Happy birthday to me.
See, that's a nice thing about living in Canada. The Hostess Twinkies have never gone away.
Never. Anyway, moving
They're
on.
Still here.
Is this semi-main hunt time now, Tim?
Yep, intermission was over, and then out comes Johnny Devine and Maverick Mike Briggs and the other guy, you know, Dynamite Dan. He was accompanied by Dynamite Doll. Now, for those of you who don't know, she's the daughter of, you know, Dynamite Kid, the tag team of the British Bulldogs. Wow, deja vu all over again.
You don't say.
I'll tell you. Anyway, yeah, so typical Johnny Devine fashion.
Cheated.
Basically, you know, I wouldn't say he cheated because he didn't exactly cheat, but he, you know, he got things underway and then ducked out of the ring.
He cheated.
So he didn't cheat. He just didn't play fair. He made these two guys.
He cheated. We could see it from our angle.
We saw him grab tights. He cheated.
He made these two guys basically beat each other up, and then he comes in and, you know, for the pinfall to retain the title, which, by the way, is a beautiful, shiny new belt.
But, yeah
I did notice the shiny belt.
Yes, it was all pretty.
Pretty.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was all pretty.
He cheated. Johnny cheated, so, as always.
According to you guys who watched, he cheated. I'm not allowed to. I have to be impartial.
You have to be impartial, right? Because you got to call it right down the middle.
Right down the middle. Well, you know, one of these days I'm going to special guest referee one of his matches, and we'll see.
Oh, are you now? You're going to get in the ring and referee a match?
It might happen.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, never know.
I want ref bumps in that match. Anyway.
No rough, bumps from that. First, first
bullshit. I'm going to find a way to get a hold of Johnny.
Yeah, no. First,
Johnny and I are going
to
talk.
First person to bump the ref automatically loses the match and will be suspended.
So you're gonna, without pay. So if Johnny attacks you, you're going to actually suspend
him. He's going to put himself in the ring, but he's also going to push his authority around.
Like any good referee should.
There you go.
I guess. Anyway, time.
Anyway, yeah, so there you go. Johnny Devine retains his title. You guys saw it. I'll let you make your own decision on how he won.
Cheated. Totally cheated. Right.
Now, what that brought out was the main event of the night. And first guy out is Logan Cross. He comes out to his little gothic music, you know, because he's like a goth vampire and shit. And people, you know, he did have fans there. I think there were like 5% of the crowd last night were cheering for Logan Cross.
Yay.
They were all, weirdly enough, they were all girls, and they were all down at the concession table. Not, you know, buying stuff, but selling things. So go figure.
Yay, go Logan Cross.
Yeah. So, and of course, as soon as Logan got in the ring, out came Jose Suero, and holy cow, was this kid ever over with the fans. I have never heard... at every single independent wrestling show I have been to, I have never heard a crowd reaction like that.
He was trying to impress, it looked like to me.
He did a really good job. So, but
he was taking risk. He wanted to prove himself.
Yep. To you know, for all intents and purposes, not to be cliche, but they threw everything at each other except the kitchen sink, and that's only because nobody brought one.
Come on, people. Fans bring the weapons match. Gotta bring the kitchen sink.
So, yeah, like, what the hell is this? Fans bring the kitchen sink match. I'm going to have to, like, make it for the next time we have one of these things. You know, fans bring the kitchen sink.
You got to write bring kitchen sink into the promotion of the card.
Yeah, maybe should have done that. And, you know how we said you can't bring food because the ring, first off, two reasons. Ring being brand new with an off-white canvas, there's no way we want any nasty stuff getting stuck on it. And it's actual canvas, not vinyl. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't just wipe clean. It has to be, like, you know, taken to a cleaner's.
Yeah. Alright.
Which really expensive because it's a 25-foot square canvas.
Okay,
23 feet, but you get the idea.
Okay.
Yeah, that's beside the point. Somebody put a whole bunch of really, really, really overripe bananas in one of those great, big, huge protein containers.
I heard about this on the Facebook page tonight.
Oh, that didn't go over too good. A few people were like, God damn it, rah, rah, rah. And I was like, God damn it, rah, rah, rah. And then somebody else said, God damn it, rah, rah. And somebody said, bananas.
Which, by the way, bananas was our safe word last night on TV radio.
Really?
Yeah, we used the safe word bananas last night on the show.
Okay, now I'm just trying to figure out, what the hell are you doing on CB radio where you need a safe word?
No, okay. I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
No,
okay,
yeah,
safe words
don't
are used,
don't
are,
know.
Yeah, we safe were, words we, are used in BDSM, genius.
We were playing,
Google it.
We were playing some music from the guy who brought us Gangnam Style.
Gangnam Style?
You were listening to Psy? Are you mad?
Yes, I was in a mood. I was high on sugar.
No wonder you needed a safe word. You're in a masochistic mood.
And then well, I played...
Did you have too many Twinkies or what?
No, I had a lot of Nalolators.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of sugar. Yeah, we had a safe word, and it was scaring people in the chat room.
So we now you know why, right? Anyway, so there you go. There's pretty much, for all intents and purposes, that was the show because Jose Suervo won. He actually earned a contract with Canadian All-Pro Wrestling.
Go him!
Yes, yay, go him. And, you know, the soccer chants, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they actually got one of those chants going last night, only it wasn't ole ole, it was Jose Jose. And I thought that was kind of awesome.
Dude's popular. Give him credit.
Dude was over, as they say in the vernacular.
I say Jose Suero for Canadian All-Pro Wrestling Champion. Make it happen.
You don't see that happening. The kid needs to eat a hot dog or a hamburger.
But it's a Canadian All-Pro Wrestling Champion. There's no...
Eat a hot dog. Eat a hot dog. Anyway.
That could be turned really, really wrong.
Well, don't, because we don't need you on sugar and having to use safe words anymore. Especially tonight, pervert.
Oh, don't you worry. We have quick hits coming up.
Oh, God, no. I might have to leave early.
Oh, no. One was.
I'll wait until I hear the first question and then decide if I have to leave early because I might need to make a phone call.
No.
Yeah, I'm warning you right now. I might just have to go make a phone call.
I'm going to tell you this. It was a spoiler. Omega came up with one of your questions.
Okay, that's it. I have to make a phone call. Spoiler alert. Yeah, you maybe shouldn't have spoiled it, because I'm hanging up as soon as we...
It has to do with the new Star Trek movie.
Yeah, that's what scares me. I know you, and I know you know me, and I know you know I know you know I know. You know? No. Oh. What the... Holy cow, I've got a headache.
Anyway, Canadian All-Pro Wrestling returns to the Royal Canadian Legion number 1 on May 18th.
May the 18th. What's going to happen? You'll just have to wait and see. Will Kamikaze return to actually try to, in his rematch, win the Commonwealth title? We'll see. You never know what's going to happen, but you will be able to keep on top of stuff by going to www.canadianallpro.com. By the way, tickets will be going on sale in the next couple of days. All you got to do is get in touch with me one way or t'other. How do you get in touch with me? You can call my work phone number, my Canadian All-Pro Wrestling business number, 587-894-7369. Or you can message me on Facebook. Send me a text message. That's always a good idea. Or you can email timstein@canadianallpro.com.
So make sure you call in 4 o'clock in the morning.
Well, no, I turn off the ringer after I go to bed, so forget it. Yeah, Spook, I did that just for you because I knew you'd pick up where that came from. Eat a hot dog, Chan.
Anyway, ready for the great debate, Tim?
I don't know if I'm ready for the great debate, but why don't we, do the great debate?
It's now time for this week's WTR Great Debate. Join the hosts as they debate the greatest WWE Hardcore Champion of all time.
Well, as you see, Spike Dudley staggering around, and then out of nowhere, look at this, Hurricane comes flying in. He really can fly.
Look. It wasn't a bird. It wasn't a plane.
It was Hurricane.
It was Hurricane.
And he's our new hardcore champion here in the WWF.
Quick, to the Hero Cycle.
In hell.
No! Oh, wait a minute.
What?
Marty Molly. I don't believe it. Marty Molly has just defeated...
She hit the Hurricane with a frying pan.
I thought she was a sidekick.
Look, I'm a hardcore champion. I'm a winner, baby. Yeah. What's that? What are you
doing? Hey, wait a minute. There's Maven. Maven rolling up Christian. I think Maven's regained the hardcore title. And now he's taking Christian's cap.
Now step into the ring with us for this week's great debate.
Great debate this week. It's the semis and the finals right here in one quick action. Up first, Mankind takes on Shane McMahon Omega. Who you going with?
You can crash Holly the winner and move on.
No. Mankind versus Shane McMahon. Who you got?
Mankind.
Why?
Because both were very amusing when they had the hardcore title. It just... It's more Mankind's wheelhouse.
Mace.
Shane O'Mac.
Why?
Because as much as Foley was the guy who started it all and everything, it was Shane O'Mac who gave us the more entertaining bumps and craziness. Sure, he wasn't the guy who got speared through a flaming table, but the dude liked to jump off a lot of high stuff that made us go, oh shit, Vince's legacy is dead.
It turned out not to be Vince's legacy anyway.
So, Tim, break the tie.
Well, you know, Shane O'Mac, the guy deserves props and kudos and all the holy shit chance he got for some of the insane goddamn things he did. And against almost anybody else in this great debate, he definitely wins unanimously. However, Shane McMahon... the boss's son, not a wrestler, knows how to, like, get a crowd pop, and that's about it. It's more, than just that. And on top of it, yeah, let's concede Mankind was the inception of the hardcore division and title. And it's just, you know, it's Mankind.
Nick Foley, dude.
Mankind moves on. Tommy Dreamer, Crash Holly.
No.
Shane finally hits the glass wall.
Mm-hmm. And it didn't break. Anyway, Crash Holly, Tommy Dreamer, Mace.
Meep.
Not an acceptable answer.
Meep?
Ah, crap.
Who the hell are you, Beaker? Meep?
Yeah, I'm second cousin to Sheamus. Go fuck yourself. Yeah. But I'm just...
Your fault.
Thing is, like, Crash Holly was good about bringing in the 24/7 rule, and, you know, he made himself go from a joke character to somewhat decent. Mm-hmm. At the same time, Tommy Dreamer really embraced the hardcore title as his thing, which the entire hardcore division eventually became. I'm going to go for Tommy.
Ooh. Omega.
Crash.
Why?
He's Crash.
Great answer.
I'm sorry, it's a bandicoot.
When he put... Fuck you, making a video game reference.
You're supposed to pat me on the back for being able to.
Fuck you.
Okay, we'll take that as a pat on the back.
Closest you'll ever get from him. Anyway.
Fuck you.
Crash is... The hardcore championship, the way we remember it. He instigates the 24/7 rule. He is allegedly well over 400 pounds.
Mm-hmm. Super heavyweight.
Let's face it. If not for the hardcore championship, Crash Holly would have been just a moment in the WWE. I mean, yeah, he would just hardcore Holly's tag team partner, and he probably would have been gone the second that stopped. Mm-hmm. However, that hardcore belt made him who he was. It's why we remember him so fondly, and it's why we remember the Hardcore Championship, not just as another belt being tossed around during the Attitude Era, high European championship, but as something different and as something unique in wrestling.
Alright, so Omega goes with Crash. We have one for Tommy Dreamer from Mace, Tim Stein, Break the Tie.
Oh, goddamn. Yeah, you know, look at Tommy Dreamer. He, like, literally super serious about the hardcore title, and it, like, it was Tommy Dreamer, so it was super serious. And just felt supremely legit. But I saw the hardcore division in the title as what it was supposed to be seen as, and that's not something, you know, it wasn't supposed to be taken seriously. It was just something fun. Crash Holly took a joke character and made it fun and got it over. And, you know, he did bring, like what's his name said, brought in the 24/7.
So what's his name? What's your response?
Suck my taint, Tim.
Taint, no way that's happening. Anyway. What's his name? That was a good one. Anyway, yeah, you know, he made it fun, and that was just like what that was supposed to be all about. It was fun. Crash Holly.
All right, finals time. Mankind, Crash Holly. Tim, go.
No, I'm not going first.
Yes, you are.
Who's up?
You, Crash Holly, Mankind.
Oh. No, who's up?
Crash Holly, Mankind.
I hate you. No. Tommy Dreamer.
No, Tommy Dreamer was eliminated. You didn't pick him. You picked Crash Holly.
I gotta go with Crash Holly. It's just I had more fun watching him. You know, like you know, I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, Mankind wasn't boring. I just it was you know the different types of entertainment level. I guess you can call it.
Right.
Mankind was absolutely awesome, but he would have been more suited to something different. In the same vein as Tommy Dreamer. Something more legitimate and not something that was a joke to begin with. Where did they get this busted up hardcore title?
Mm-hmm. So you going Crash?
Yeah, I'm going to go Crash.
Mace.
Ultimate Warrior.
No.
No, I tried doing shit like that. It doesn't apply a second time around.
It only works once.
Now, if you said it in the Ultimate Warrior voice, then I would have counted it. But since you didn't...
Yeah, and it's too late to do it now, but do the voice anyway.
No.
Well, then pick Crash Holly.
Or Mankind.
Thanks for blowing my subliminal persuasion techniques.
Well, considering that neither of my choices go in, so I'm just going to pick like everybody else's and go Crash Holly.
Well, you see, Mankind wins, but Crash Holly invokes the 24/7 rule and re-wins. Thanks, Spook.
So Mace is going with Crash Holly.
That means Crash Holly already won. Don't even ask Omega. Because he doesn't count.
What's his name? What do you got?
Hey, what's your name?
Aside from the points I've already mentioned, I will summarize it like this. Whose theme are we using for this debate?
Tommy
done.
Dreamer.
Tommy
yeah. Dreamer.
Tommy Dreamer. So Crash Holly is the greatest hardcore champion of all the times.
Of all the times?
Of all the times, yes, yes.
You learned how to talk English by listening to Santino Marella, didn't you?
I did. Starting next week, we will start to determine the greatest WWE champion of all time.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yep.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No.
Hold on. If it's the WWE Championship, you better take a lot of names off that list you sent me.
Why?
Because that's not the... Is that the belt that has the lineage that splits off into two belts and then goes off to 14 different companies?
No. This is the Winged Eagle thing. The history of the Winged Eagle and all that stuff. That belt. Not the World Heavyweight title. We're talking about the Winged Eagle and the Spinner and all that stuff.
The WWE title.
WWE title. Not big gold where it's transferred 500 companies.
Yeah, no, the John Cena belt.
The John Cena belt, yes. The People's belt.
Yes, the Hulk Hogan. So in other words, the one that used to be called the Undisputed Championship, which is made off of the WCW and WWF championships, and then going off and then splitting the WCW belt into the NWA category.
You are just doing this to get my head. Christ sakes, it's a WWF/WWE champion. Oh my god. You're deliberately being difficult. You know what it is? It's a deficiency in Twinkies.
No shit. Send me Twinkies and Frosted Flakes.
So with that,
I need to be high on sugar at 4 o'clock in the morning, damn it.
Yeah, it's just so like some a specific Philadelphian.
Yeah, it's so much fun.
It's better than speed, kids, and sugar at 4 a.m. Give it a try.
When you're talking really, really fast, because you're high on sugar, yeah!
Anyway. Not addictive!
Not addictive at all. Anyway.
I've got a Snickers bar, and I am not afraid to use it.
Side effects include type 2 diabetes.
Exactly. Anyway, final segment time, Tim. Ready?
What? Let's do it.
Time now for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits.
Wow.
That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits.
Yeah, okay, do me a favor. You've really got to stop taking sugar because you talk way too fast. Slow it down, son.
Okay.
Not that much, jackass.
I will start with you.
You heard me.
What is your favorite Sky Low match? Sky Low match.
I have to go make a phone call.
No. What is your favorite Sky Low match?
I don't know. I don't have one.
Why not? He's in the Stampede Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Yes, I know.
What's your favorite Sky Low match?
I don't have one.
Why not? Why don't you?
Because I don't. I just don't. Legitimately do not have a favorite Sky Low match.
Okay, what's your favorite Sky Low moment?
I literally don't have one.
Do you even know who Sky Low is?
He's a midget.
And for the wonderful people at home, he is in the new WWE Encyclopedia, which you can win a copy of this Thursday on the Rack. Go to RackRadioShow.com or right here on WildTalkRadio.com and read the rules and submit.
Okay, you just quit doing all of this crap just so you could, like, shill stuff? This is what you did. That was a setup to, like, shill shit.
No, in fact, Lindsay gave me that question because she was looking through the book, and we wanted to know if you knew who Sky Lolo was.
Why would you ask me if I knew who Sky Lolo was? Just because I don't have a favorite match of his or a moment.
Because he's a Canadian professional midget wrestler and he's in from Stampede Wrestling. You should know.
So what? There are a lot of guys in Stampede Wrestling I don't have a favorite moment for.
Why not?
Because I don't.
You should.
Well, I don't have to listen to you because this isn't Russia back in the 1980s.
Fine. Anyway, that was a champion's flaw, so there you go. Mace. Without Googling.
Good luck.
Without Googling, in order, from current and backwards, name the last 10 Intercontinental Champions in order.
Just do what I do. Say no.
No Yahoo either.
No Yahoo, no Bing.
Or Bing. Yeah, thank you.
No Ask.com, anything. No searching. Hang up, Mace.
Oh, shit. Can you do the last two?
Last two, last five.
It's the Intercontinental title. I mean, like, You know, when was the last time WWE made that one thing relevant?
Come on, guys.
You know what? He's not even saying no. He's just ignoring you completely.
We're gonna sit here and wait all day until you answer the question.
He's asking Jeeves.
No, asking Jeeves.
He might be going to Alta Vista.
No AOL.
Does that
search.
Still exist?
What? Actually, I've been on mute.
Awesome, man. Yeah, I just see that. You know what I mean? I'm down all right. Just like going red to the face from yelling. Oh shit! Turn that mic back on. It is so nice to know I'm not the only one who fucking does that.
I can give you the last three.
No, I want the last 10. So come on, go.
We've Wade Barrett currently. Then it was The Miz, and then it was Wade Barrett.
And who was before Wade Barrett?
The mustache is over.
Yeah, Cody Rhodes.
He's in there, but they're not in that spot.
Yeah, I know. I fail this one.
You're making me crazy.
Yeah.
That was your hint.
So there you go. Who's before him?
He can fly.
He can fly, yeah.
Okay, see, you guys are allowed to sit there with a fucking list.
I'm playing solitaire. I'm not looking at a list.
Oh, bullshit.
No shit. I can prove it.
No, it was Tim just picked up on my hint. That's all.
Here's a better hint. It's the black guy.
Here's an even better hint. Yellow tights on a black guy. You can't even get it with that.
Wow.
His name rhymes with a hot beverage you drink in the morning.
Oh my god.
I don't. Okay.
Boom!
Yes, Kofi fucking Kingston. Congratulations.
Time. Well, looking in the chat, Spook, quit spoiling it.
All right, you have Kofi, and then who?
Who really fucking doing this, eh?
No, why? Because they're looking for that guy encyclopedia that fans can win.
We're using this as a promo shelf.
No, all right, actually,
no. Yeah, it failed miserably.
Barrett, Miss Barrett. Kofi, Miz.
There you go. Who was before Miz?
Anybody say Cody Rhodes?
That would be wrong.
Yeah, I know. I'm just giving him a hint.
You need to be more charismatic when you do it.
Oh, I apologize.
Okay. Christian. Mm-hmm. Fuck. Wow.
You're like, oh shit.
Then I'd probably guess Cody Rhodes.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that bring us up to?
You got three more.
Oh fuck.
You know,
God, if Christian was in action, this is from a long time ago.
For shit.
Last July. So there you go. Christian was last July. Raw 1000 when he won the belt, or lost the belt, either way. This guy's big.
Big Joe.
Okay. And
gee, can you give him a little more obtuse hint?
Mustache.
He's the big guy on the show.
Huh?
Cody Rhodes and Ezekiel Jackson.
You looked it up, didn't you?
Yep.
I mean, like, the hell with this? I'm going to get the answer, damn it.
Okay.
I've had the page open for the last 3 minutes. I've just been fucking with you. You fuck with me, I'm
There it goes.
Okay, Omega, your turn. Say the alphabet backwards as fast as you can.
What?
Be a dick, Omega. Do it the way I'm thinking. You have to say...
The alphabet backwards.
No.
No, you got it wrong.
No.
The alphabet backwards as fast as you can.
No. Yeah,
there, I just did it.
Yeah, no. Actually use the letters and say it backwards.
No, only the devil can say the alphabet backwards.
Well...
Oh, are you trying to allude to Omega being the devil?
UV.
I am not drunk. This is not a sobriety test.
Come on, let's do it then. Come on. Then it should be
hey, easy. we're only asking for the alphabet. We're asking to walk the line at the same time.
Or touch your nose with your eyes closed. I couldn't do that sober.
Jeez. Z, Y, X, W. V,
oh, no, do it in Canadian.
T, S, R, A, Q, A, P, A, O.
I swear he, like, Googled the alphabet and he's reading it from right to left.
Yeah, I Googled the alphabet.
Macewood.
I just typed in each letter one time and Google lost its shit.
Hey, why is my Google not working?
L K J I H G F E D C B A.
There you go. Good job. Now, Tim, this question came from Omega. So, Tim, if you were a feminine hygiene product, what would you be?
I have to go make a phone call.
No, I gotta answer this question.
This is a question like May should get. What the fuck are you asking me?
Because Omega said.
Because this was a question that we thought of while we were on the phone last night.
No.
Why, was I doing something last night that made me look like a real douche?
No,
Mace. No,
Mace.
Huh?
This was days ago.
This
broke what? Subway and Rob last night, talking about this story. So.
And I'm proud of that.
He is very proud of it.
Well, the thing is, I am not going to talk about toxic shock syndrome and offer to be a human sanitary napkin. So why ask me this question?
Because we did.
Not that I ever listen to what the fuck you guys do on CB radio on my smartphone while I'm driving in my car after the wrestling show.
Never, never, ever would you do that. So what feminine hygiene product would you be and why?
I can't answer this question.
Yes, you can.
No.
Why not?
Because I'm too queasy.
No, answer the question, Tim.
No.
Why not?
I'm literally not going to answer this question.
Then we're going to be here all night.
I'm offended that I was asked it to begin with.
Why were you offended, really, on the show, really?
Because certain things offend me, and you found one of the things that offend me. I'm offended now.
Oh, are you going to go sit in the corner and pout now?
No, I'm just going to sit here being offended.
Are you holding
Stop being such a pussy. What kind of hygiene product are you?
Okay, that joke did not work. I am more offended now than ever before.
Come on, answer the question.
Stouffer's Lean Cuisine.
How is that a feminine hygiene product?
Because it helps when you're on a diet.
Do you accept that answer, Omega?
No.
I'm not answering the damn question. I'm offended. Literally, seriously, legitimately not going to answer it.
Why, you don't want to be the human...
I'm not going to be the... No, because, like, first off, that gives you too much of an opportunity to come up with a clip that'll really piss me off.
No, because I have music going. Won't be clip off.
No, that's never stopped you before.
It Anyway, what do you mean?
Just say something and just get it over with.
Something and get it over with.
You're an ass.
Yes, I am. I learned from guys in Florida.
Dude, just shut up and say something. You'll be a tampon. You're good at pulling strings. Say anything.
I'm too busy trying to be offended to laugh. Or I'm too busy trying not to laugh to be offended. I'm offended!
Oh, Tim. Come on.
I'm stubborn.
We know this.
There you go.
So that's a new feminine hygiene product, stubborn.
Yeah, there you go. You figure out the tagline.
Make it your call.
God. You know, if he's going to be a baby about it, God, how many horrible questions have we had to answer?
I haven't come up with a really obviously offensive one like that for you. I don't think I've ever come up with a question for you, offensive or otherwise.
Now, what Misha showed me, very offensive.
Say what?
That should be red. I'm offended.
What?
Nothing. Moving on.
Are you offended? You shouldn't be offended.
God.
It should be red.
I didn't know business cards were formatted in WordPad.
What the hell?
And pro wrestling is two words.
Like they'll know the difference.
Wait a second. You actually got somebody to make these things for you?
They were free.
Well, that explains it. Even though they were free, you didn't get your money's worth.
Anyway, okay, since he's being a big baby, Tim, we'll move on from Tim. Mace, what is the one collector item you regret buying after the fact?
One collector item I regret buying after the fact. I got the, what is known as the Balls of Steel Duke Nukem Forever. It was touted as having this stone bust of Duke Nukem. Yeah, it was this fucking small plastic piece of shit. So, yeah, that I regret it. But then again, it's also Duke Nukem Forever.
Yes, and you will regret it forever. Omega, if you were a tampon, what color tampon would you be and why?
They make them in colors?
Yes, if you've read your story, yes, they do.
Why? They all become red eventually.
Well, if it was green, wouldn't it wind up being brown at the end?
I don't want to think about that.
Thank you. You may tell him no, Omega. Even though it was your goddamn idea to ask me that goddamn question to goddamn begin with, goddammit.
So pick a color, any color. What color will you be?
Pick a color, any color?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Say purple.
Oh.
Omega's like, fuck,
you know what?
Threw this question back at me.
Wait, what? No, it's not that. I'm just like, wait, what? My brain's just like not processing it. Why the fuck would you make them in colors? That's all I'm thinking right now. It's like colored toilet paper. It always ends up one color. What's the point?
It always ends up badly.
You know what? I'm going with blue. Because then it forms a much more pleasant shade of purple when it's going down the toilet.
Joe's would appreciate that.
Okay.
If I can't come up with logic, I'll come up with marketing. Very disgusting marketing.
Okay, that's, Quickets.
Some of us can answer our shit questions, Tim.
No.
Baby.
I'm offended.
You're offended?
I'm offended. That was very politically incorrect, and I feel like hanging up till you finish talking about it.
Well, if you want to hear more about it, go back and listen to the archive of CB Radio from last night.
There you go. Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. It's another edition of Rust Talk Radio right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. Yeah, we like to have fun. I don't know why you guys think it's fun, but thanks for thinking that. Tomorrow night, it's the Raw Post Show at about 11:30 Eastern.
11:30 Eastern. Join me and Lindsay as we discuss 3 hours of Raw in about 45 minutes. It's fun. It's impact. It's exciting. It's the Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And Micah,
what?
Here's your answer for the why is it why would you make tampon a color? There you go. You're welcome.
Lindsay, God damn you. Tuesday night, it's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with a big... Oh, no, I better not.
This level of espionage shit going on now.
Rock, you figured out what I was about to do, didn't you? I hope he doesn't. Yeah, Alan Wojcik with Kayfabe Wrestling Radio on Tuesday. Alan, we're just picking on you, buddy. We're not, you know, picking on you, but, you know, we're just having fun. Relax. Alan interviews people.
Kevin Sullivan and Vita Scott will be on the Perfect program. I was told to mention that. If I'm promoting a show, it's Vita Scott and Kevin Sullivan on Alan Wojcik's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio live 9 p.m. Eastern Tuesday.
Oh, I like how you did that. Alan Wojcik's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio.
Right,
starring Alan Wojcik. Produced by Alan Wojcik. Wait a minute. Maybe not. Anyway, yeah, no, Alan, I know you're going to wonder why the hell we're picking on you, but we're just having fun, relax. keep trying to make this light, and I think I'm making the hole deeper, so I'll just move on to Wednesday night with some...
Product is covering that hole, Tim. Quick!
There's a radio show Wednesday night at 8:30.
And you thought we were trying to get cheap heat. It's cheap heat right now. Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern with Scott Perry and Matthew Forsina. As you heard in the commercial, they like to say haikus during commercials.
Don't
Wednesday
mind me, I'm just joking.
Yes, and Forsina might be the first guy to ever wipe out a Costco.
Yes, yes.
Wait a minute. Forsina, isn't that fake Mace?
Mm-hmm.
He's like the Rick Titan of WTR.
I guess.
Sacred to Ramon. It's okay. I can pick on Rick. He's my friend. Anyway, yeah. So that's 8:30 Eastern on Thursday. Oh my goodness, kids! You got a chance to win something. It's an encyclopedia.
The WWE Encyclopedia. You win a copy of the new WWE Encyclopedia, courtesy of DK Publishing. And our guest this Thursday on the Rack, Brian Shields, will be giving away a copy during our WWE Capture Contest. You can go to RackRadioShow.com right here on WildTalkRadio.com to read the rules and how to enter. And submit your entries no later than 8 p.m. on Thursday. So tune in.
I was just going to say, all captions will be looked at and laughed at, but only one winner will be chosen.
Winner will be chosen by myself and Lindsay on the program.
I want to help choose.
If you're in the U.S. or Canada, you are eligible. Anyone else, well, we don't have the money in our budget to send it overseas. So.
Sorry, Mace, you're out of luck.
Yes, we broke his heart the other day.
Yeah, it's kind of like Twinkies.
So tune in, Impact, Brian Shields, all the fun stuff, The Rack, Thursday, 11 p.m. Eastern.
There you go. Yeah, so Friday, sometimes Mace plays video games.
Except for this Friday, when we're going to bring back a nice little staple of WTR.
That
sort of really started it all. I've been told it has been majorly updated with new questions and answers. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, we get to see how evil and mean we really are. With evil apples to apples.
Tune in 9 p.m. Eastern. Yes, it's playing Evil's Apples to Apples, 9 p.m. this Friday, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
I got to make sure I'm home on time to play that.
There you go.
Yeah, Saturday night, midnight ish, or as close as they can get it. It's a bunch of pricks talking about tampons.
Something like that. Anyway.
Yeah, CB radio. Where nothing is taboo. They can't make this shit up, dudes.
No, we
seriously,
can't.
Seriously, kids, you've got to check them out.
We have safe words now.
That scares me even more.
Mm-hmm. And if you have to know how to spell banana correctly to actually use the safe word correctly.
Yeah, rock banana.
There are many. How do you spell banana, Tim?
B-A-N-A-N-A-A.
Gotta get a couple more A's, then you might be right.
I'm close enough.
No, you're not.
Next Sunday night is another edition of Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Tune in when we talk about
stuff.
Changing the oil in your car. It's Wrestle Talk Radio. What the hell do you think we're going to talk about? 10 o'clock Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, and go to tgomega.org and find the Mace Thing on Twitter at The Mace Thing.
Check out www.canadianallpro.com. Hey, website update on the way. Also, we will have video getting posted up on Canadian All Pro Wrestling in the next, as soon as I can get it all edited and shit like that. But
so
it will be up there this week.
So next year, video on Canadian All Pro.
Don't be jackass.
Anyway.
And by the way, you can actually purchase Canadian All Pro Wrestling t-shirts. They're only $20 Canadian plus shipping. And no, I'm not the one responsible for mailing them out. So yes, you will get them. But if you want a t-shirt, get in touch with me and I'll tell you how we go about getting it for you.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, that being said, get out of here. We're done.
So, Tim, really, what type of female hygiene product would you be?
Just tell us if you have wings or not.
Buy the shirt, buy the hat, KennyOpro.com.
No strings attached.